Minneapolis. 86 degrees, Garage Logic back with more news and especially traffic.
From ABC News. Sherry Preston. As many as 30 people are still missing after yesterday's bridge collapse in Minneapolis. Bodies are still trapped in vehicles, but getting to them has proven very difficult. ABC's Aaron Katursky is live in Minneapolis with more.
In sun-drenched heat, Sherry, police search for bodies. Police Chief Tim Dolan says it's slow.
It is still a tremendously dangerous scene.
In fact, divers have been pulled from the river now because of dangerous currents. They had been trying to access several cars submerged right at the scene of the bridge collapse, but there are lots more cars down there. Police want to be careful not to disturb evidence if this turns out to be a crime, but so far we're told there's no evidence of that, Sherry.
ABC's Aaron Katursky live in Minneapolis. Stories of survival keep turning up. Jeremy Hernandez is a camp counselor on that bus you probably saw teetering on the bridge. He got the back door open and got all 50 youngsters to safety.
You could hear kids like moaning and crying, and the dust was in the air. You couldn't see the kids yet, though, and then when the dust settled down, they all just started screaming, we're going to go in the river, we're going to go in the river.
All 50 children were okay. Federal investigators say they'll try to reassemble pieces of the 35W bridge to try and figure out what caused it to collapse. Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty says the bridge had been deemed to have structural deficiencies, but it was also deemed safe. Another report was due in September.
The focus of that inspection, as we're told, is whether the bridge should be rehabilitated or replaced in the future. And that was going to be completed after the construction that was currently underway on the bridge was done.
And perhaps you drove across a bridge yourself today. Maybe you were nervous about it.
For people who are about to drive over a bridge and are anxious, the first thing I would say is your reaction is absolutely normal.
That's Geraldine Ross, president of the Anxiety Disorders Association of America. The markets at this hour, the Dow up 92 points just before the close, NASDAQ up 19. You're listening to ABC News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar, sorry, this is a kid.
My son has locked himself in our vehicle.
Oh, how old is he?
He's 3.
Oh,
I know.
I'd like to verify your PIN number. Do you remember what that could be?
757.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
I'm going to set up the unlock for you. Okay. I'll call you back to let you know that the door should be unlocked.
Thank you. Hello?
This is Nikki with OnStar calling you back to let you know the doors of the vehicle are unlocked.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Can you put me on hold and verify it for me?
I can verify it because my 3-year-old just ran up to me. You want to tell her thank you for unlocking your door?
Thank you so much on my door.
Oh, you're welcome.
Remote door unlock is just one of many OnStar services available on over 50 GM models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar, active.
It's sunny and 85 degrees in Minneapolis and St. Paul. 4 a.m. 1500 KSTP News. I'm John Haidt. The confirmed number of dead remaining at 4 in the collapse of the 35W bridge. 79 people injured. Minneapolis Police Chief Tim Dolan says the number of dead will go higher.
I'll just say that we know of several people that who are pinned or trapped. We're at the time when we left them deceased. So I'll just leave it at that.
And recovery efforts are proving tough. As of 1 o'clock, they stopped diving efforts. There was too much debris in the water and strong currents. NTSB Chairman Mark Rossinger is in the Twin Cities to get the investigation going on what caused the bridge collapse. He says the investigation starts now.
We understand there's some video out there that we want to get hold of and enhance. We will also be putting out a witness telephone number. Anybody has any either still photos or any other videos that may well be out there, we clearly would like to get hold of that for our analysis.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters was in the Twin Cities this morning. She pledged her department's help in trying to get things back to normal quickly.
Today, I am making an initial distribution of $5 million from the department. This money will be available today to help restore the traffic flow, to clear the debris, to set up detours, and to begin the repair work.
Meanwhile, the Coast Guard is closing down part of the Mississippi River to boat traffic because of the 35W bridge collapse. It'll be closed at mile marker 848.
8, which is just above the lock and dam number 1 at Ford Parkway in St. Paul. It'll be closed all the way to mile marker 857, just above the Lowry Avenue Bridge near Columbia Heights. No boats will be allowed in that 9-mile area. 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast, mostly clear overnight tonight, down to 64, sunny and pleasant tomorrow. High of around 86, maybe a scattered thundershower by Saturday with a high of 83. Right now it is 86 degrees. That's news. Time for a check of real-time traffic with Kenny Olson.
Thank you very much, John. We're starting to see the afternoon rush kick in now, so we're going to focus our attention on that. Both directions of I-94 between the Highway 280 area and the Lowry Hill Tunnel, they're averaging 15 minutes apiece. Look for that number to go up a little bit. We do have an inside lane blocker, West 94, at the Lowry Hill Tunnel. Both North 35E, East 94, they're plugged up through the downtown St. Paul Capitol Interchange. Down on the strip, East 494, Bush Lake Road over to France Avenue. That's a 5-10-minute creeper. So you want to get to the North Metro, do you? Well, so does everybody else. Here's what MnDOT is saying. Your alternate, East 94, which isn't an alternate anymore, this is the main line, East 94 over to North 280 and then North to 35W in the Roseville area. That's one option. That'll get you there, but everybody else is taking that route too. The other one, West 94 up to 694, which will take you east or west on 694 in Brooklyn Center. Highway 252 also might be an option on the west side of the river in the North Metro. Either way, we're going to have to find our make-a-moves, our alternates, and stick with them for the next few years. So hang in there, GLers. That is your AM 1500 real-time traffic.
Reality with a bite. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Hello. Many emailers indicating to me the Tasty Bread truck driver did not make it, including an email from a woman whose brother-in-law is a first responder and was on the scene and knows for a fact that he did not make it. I hope I don't have to give that a we don't know that. Well, actually, I would love to give it a we don't know that, but there's been enough corroboration in a variety of emails to suggest that the Tasty Bread truck driver did not make it.
My brother-in-law was actually the EMT on the scene there. Couldn't find him. He was down there between 7:30 and 8 p.m. last evening. Works for HCMC. That was their mission, to get down there and see what was going on. They couldn't find the guy.
Were you here all night?
Yeah, off and on, pretty much. Yeah, I did go down to the scene for a couple of hours overnight just to satisfy my curiosity.
So did I. But wisely was kept away, as most people were.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. All the media passes in the world aren't going to get you close to this thing. If you really want to see it, you watch it on Channel 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best video footage there is.
How did this station get made aware of this? Just from downstairs?
Boy, I don't know, Joe. I was on my way home from the evening shift, and the phone started ringing, so I'm not sure. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know either. I think we left about 6, and
I mean, this happened at 6:05, and I bet KSTP was on the air with it, the TV, at 6:10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on the air with it by the time I got home from work. That was 6:20, 6:25. We were already, we were there in the air, too.
And by 6:15, finally getting some photos from the air.
You know, Brocato did a good last night. On comment, because she knows all these guys from her political connections, so she knew who she was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the best coverage around.
Can we get the lake detective, please? Are we going
to... LD, I've made a call, and when he stopped by my garage sale last week, said he was going to fight.
Oh.
So he's fighting. I left a message, and he said he will be checking messages, and he'll try to get back as soon as possible.
I don't know who to ask, and he would know, because he's never been stumped. How deep is the river there? I have no idea, and I've not heard it explored, and I don't know what chart to go look at.
How far down does a loaded barge go?
I bet a barge has a draw of, that's a great question. I don't know. 3 feet?
Hmm.
4 feet?
He's opening the door like...
Well, good. I'd like to know. What's a barge draw?
It's like 9 feet there, but they can lower it to 7 because of lock and dam.
So it's a 9-foot depth, but they can draw down the water through the dam system.
But they can draw down, yes.
Well, see, 9 feet. And then the other question I have, and Kenny, maybe you know this because maybe it was discussed already. The bridge looks like it just dropped
Yes, it does.
Onto the river.
The center section, yeah.
Okay. So how did cars get underneath it? If you were on the bridge and it just plummeted...
Boy, I don't know.
There had to be some twisting or...
Yeah, and we did hear that from some people on the scene. Some structural engineers were saying there was some twisting as she went down, and they could tell that just by looking at the pile of rubble. But I don't know, Joe. Maybe falling off each end? I know the north end of the bridge collapsed last. We've seen that from the video, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I know.
Mm-hmm. All right, is that our guy, Rook?
No, it's Ian Punnett.
All right.
I'm not sure what he wants yet.
Well, let's ask him if he wants
to
discuss it with us. You got to tell me right away, though. Ian?
Yes, hey, Joe.
Hi.
I was on the air earlier with Aaron Katursky from ABC News on a station in Chicago. And he said, and I believe the host confirmed, that it's 9 feet in the middle. It has to be 9 feet or they'd have to close it to barge traffic.
Right. We just got that from John Haidt. Yeah.
And it's like a game show with you, Joe. I'm like, tried to buzz in, and I was all happy I knew that answer.
Well, I'm glad you did know that answer. I heard you for a considerable length of time last night.
With Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Kind of a fluke, but it was. I was glad to be helpful if I could be.
Well, you were considerably more helpful than Anderson Cooper.
He needed a conversation partner, they said, down on the ground.
So. Where were you?
What's that?
Where were you?
I was all over. I spent a lot of time actually over at the Metrodome Holiday Inn, where I was observing the chaplains, talking with them, and talking with the family members that are missing loved ones and getting the kind of response or trying to find out what they needed from the media.
Is that been the location for family members of missing people, that Holiday Inn Metrodome?
Yeah, that's where they moved them right away, in the ballroom. They were still loading in the, you know, bags of ice. I mean, literally like two pickup trucks full of ice and all the cold drinks. I think they were going to kind of make it kind of a hospitality area for the first responders.
All right. All right, thank you.
All right, Joe.
Ian Punnett is with FM 107.
Got to be quicker on the trigger next time, though.
July 31st, 07. That was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 70 bridge under construction near Oroville, California, collapsed. May 26, 02. Interstate 40 bridge near Weber's Falls, Oklahoma, collapses when a barge crashes into it. Four dead. It's tough to make bridges barge-proof. April 24, 1990, I remember this, the Lake Street Marshall Avenue Bridge between Minneapolis and St. Paul during construction.
Mm-hmm.
April 5, 1987, the Schoharie Creek Bridge on the New York Thruway northwest of Albany collapsed when the rain-swollen creek eroded bridge supports. 10 dead. June 28, 1983, Interstate 95 bridge over the Mianus River in Connecticut collapsed. 3 dead. May 9, 1980, the main span of Interstate 275 Sunshine Skyway Bridge across Tampa Bay in Florida collapsed when a ship struck a pier. 35 dead. Again, we're not going to make the bridges safe from marine collisions. December 15, 1967, the Silver Bridge over the Ohio River between Canoga, Ohio, and Point Pleasant, West Virginia. 46 dead. June 16, 1964, the world's longest bridge, a causeway over Lake Pontchartrain, north of New Orleans, severed with a barge accident. And November 7, 1940, in a video that I bet everyone has seen if they've ever watched the History Channel.
Yeah.
The Tacoma Narrows dual suspension bridge near Tacoma collapsed because of wind-induced vibration. No deaths. That thing was swinging like a yo-yo.
Yes, it was.
December 29, 1876. Bridge collapses under a train in Ashtabula, Ohio. Dave?
Yeah, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a photographer, independent guy. I was out there last night about 8 o'clock. Stayed till about 1 in the morning. Came back this morning about 8:30 once traffic died down, 9 o'clock, whatever. And I'm just heading back home right now. One thing as far as the cars going underneath that I had heard was when it dropped, I mean, think about it. Your tires are rubber, you know. They're filled with air. They bounced off.
Mm-hmm.
And the one big thing that I have to say,
mm-hmm.
man alive, all of the security, the police, everybody, man, they're top notch.
Mm-hmm.
This town really pulled together, you know, and it's just stunning. I guess I was last night prior or this morning they had it all marked off and stuff, but last night you were able to get into certain little areas if you were so inclined to work at getting there. And able to get some different shots and such. I guess one thing on the north side of the river, I'm not for sure about the directions, but if you're coming from the north, heading south on 35, right on the land there, I was able to get back in there and get a few nice shots, yesterday evening, or late last night as it were, of the bridge falling, or the bridge, on top of, the railroad car, and then a bunch of the vehicles that had pummeled kind of on that end there. And then today I went, yesterday you weren't able to get very close at all on the south side, if you will, of the river, south, you know what I'm talking about when I
mm-hmm.
say south there.
Mm-hmm.
But today it was a little more open. You were able to get up in a parking ramp. You were able to find some different spots and such. God bless everybody, and God, I mean, God, truly, God bless, I mean, the cops, everybody was so, I was even listening to, when the dignitaries came out this morning, I happened to just have been in the right area, and some of the private detectives, you know, of course, they're watching out for everybody, or for the dignitaries, and they were so respectful of, you know, you kind of get the idea of when you get pulled over, some police are nice, some police may have had a bad day and kind of take it out on you. But everybody that I've ran into in the last 2 days have been stellar.
All right, thank you. All right, can the public see your... I was going to ask him for what purpose was he taking the photographs. Can the public see it? Last night on the way there, and I served no purpose in attempting to go there. But we pulled off. And there's a guy examining his car. And the such a rush of emergency vehicles drove him off the road and up over the curb.
Mm.
So he was seeing if his rims were bent.
Oh.
And he wasn't angry.
No?
He was, oh, man, they needed to get by, and they weren't going to stop. And his only choice was to veer right, hump himself over the curb. This is down by the University Hospital as you hug River Road
mm-hmm.
and went down that way. And that's about all the further that it would have been wise to attempt to go. Tony?
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Listening earlier to probably Rosenbaum about the noon hour, and some guy called in and he said something about seeing gears. He's a regular foot or bike traffic person who crosses under that bridge. He said he saw metal gears underneath the bridge. I was wondering if anybody knew that to be true and what the purpose would have been for gears up underneath the bridge structure.
I do not know. It wasn't a drawbridge.
Well, I don't know if it was something from the original installation that may have let go or if it gave a little bit of wiggle room.
It's a bridge with an automatic de-icing system. I don't know if those gears relate to that system or not.
Yeah, no, he mentioned it, and I just hadn't heard it brought up as far as what the function was. So.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Mike?
Yeah, you just touched on mine, Joe, about the automatic de-icing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if they used, like, a salt brine or something, and that had some effect on the metal itself.
Do not know.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I had.
Kenny, do you know if they put bridges back together in warehouses the way they put crashed airplanes back together?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I do not know that. My immediate guess would be no, because I heard some guys talking about the investigation, and they're going
to... It'd be a hell of a big warehouse.
They're just going to lay it out like a crime scene, like the sheriff said earlier to last hour to you. It's a crime scene, and they're going to approach it that way and kind of lay it out that way and just investigate what happened from start to finish.
The Irish Times, of all unlikely sources, I've been steered to it by an emailer, weighed in with the speculation that the bridge failed because it wasn't built with enough redundancy. Now, why the Irish Times in Ireland would be aware of this.
You're talking span supports or cross
members? Well, by redundancy, they meant that a bridge built with redundancy would survive a failure or two before the whole thing disappeared.
Yeah.
This one, apparently, whatever failed, the rest of the bridge was not able to survive that. So what? And this is the Irish Times, so take that for what it's worth. Yeah. If there is no redundancy built in, then a failure anywhere brings the whole thing down.
Sure.
And that I would imagine maybe just in 40 years, engineers have developed and incorporated into bridge design redundancy. Airliners have redundant hydraulic backups and backups for this and backups for that. So possibly what we had here was a 40-year-old bridge that didn't have backups. So we want to go to Kenny before the break. Here's traffic with Kenny
Olson.
Yeah,
let's just do a little quick update. We're seeing a lot of action on I-94 between 252 and basically Highway 280. We'll start with East 94 near 42nd Avenue in the Camden area of North Minneapolis. We have crashed cars on both shoulders. Fire department just showing up, blocking the inside lane, and it looks like we have three lanes open at the scene this time. We also have crashes in downtown Minneapolis, West 94 at Riverside, and a stall on West 94 over near the Lowry Hill Tunnel. East 94 running very thick and heavy from the tunnel over to Highway 280, where you can hop on Highway 280 northbound. In case you haven't heard, it's a freeway now. We've gotten rid of the stoplights and the cross street, so you can take North 280 up to 35W, and then take that to your final destination in the North Metro. Keep it here on AM 1500 KSDP locally. Outstate GLers, stay tuned to your local GL outlet, and we'll keep you informed throughout the afternoon. That is your AM 1500 real-time traffic.
AM 1500 KSDP.
At Cubs, we've been bringing more to your table since 1968, and this week we're bringing a really juicy deal to the table of Dana Cook in Zimmerman.
Hey, thanks for coming. Welcome to our house.
Dana, this week at Cub, you can get delicious, whole, seeded, or seedless watermelon for only $3.48 each. These are the freshest, sweetest, juiciest watermelons we could get our hands on, and now through Saturday, they're only $3.48.
That's fantastic.
So how many kids do you have, Dana?
We have 9.
That's got to be a lot of groceries.
We go through about 12 gallons of milk a week. We can eat a watermelon in a single sitting.
$3.48 for a whole watermelon. I mean,
the lowest I've seen yet.
Do you ever carve your watermelon into shapes?
They just eat it so fast, it's not worth it.
It's in the shape of gone.
It just gets crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Sweet, juicy, delicious, whole-seeded or seedless watermelon for just $3.48 each. Limit one. Now through Saturday at all Twin Cities Cub stores. And don't forget to save even more on gas. Now you can use up to 3 Cub gas coupons at once and save up to 90 cents a gallon at any Twin Cities holiday store. Offer good now through September 8th. See store for details. Cub, bringing more to your table.
Hi, this is Danny Gladden here. You know people come in all shapes and sizes, and my new TC40 Boomer compact tractor from New Holland fits me to a T. My tractor is equipped with all the new Super Sweet Cab with two doors to get in and out from either side. It has lots of glass so I can see everything I need to see. The factory air conditioning keeps me cool on the hottest days, and the seat is unbelievable. It slides forward and back on an inclined track so any size person has the right leg room. It swivels from side to side so you don't have to twist your neck and body to look at the implement you're pulling. The steering wheel tilts and telescopes to match my arm length, and the controls sit right on the fenders within easy reach. The hood slopes forward so I can see the edge of my loader bucket at all times. The Boomer series of compact tractors from New Holland are the ultimate power tools, and they're fun to operate.
Stop by your New Holland dealer today for a test drive. In Lewiston, it's Lewiston Equipment. In Pierce, it's Morrison County Tractor. And in Ellsworth, it's MDMA Equipment.
There are natural cures for virtually every disease, including diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, acid reflux, chronic pain, even herpes. I'm Donald Barrett, founder of ITV, and I just bought the book Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. I was so impressed to learn the natural, inexpensive cures that are being suppressed by drug companies that I bought over a million copies of this book, and I'm giving them away. That's right, get your hardcover edition, a $30 value, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-270-1784. That's 1-800-270-1784. And get your free copy of Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About, absolutely free. There are natural cures, and they're being hidden from you. Call 1-800-270-1784.
The Mutual Fund Show, hosted by Adam Bold, can be heard every Saturday at noon right here on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. It's America's only call-in show devoted exclusively to mutual fund investing.
The talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. And now a man who's never met a flashlight he didn't like, Joe Soucheray.
646-8255-877-615-1500. Eric?
Hi, Joe. Those gear-like things that the caller had referenced, those are bearings that allow the bridge to move. Mm-hmm. You know, heat and cold. I mean, there's constant stresses in that regard placed on all the bridges in Minnesota. And in fact, in the report, it said that there was some corrosion even on those bearings. And what happens then is it doesn't allow the bridge to move as much, and so those stresses are then transferred to any other place that will allow it to move, and that sometimes would be the cracks that develop in their structures and whatnot. So,
and of the cracks, the report said they weren't bad enough to replace the bridge.
Correct. In fact, if you read the report, you'll notice that they actually drill holes in the end of the at the end of the cracks in order to dissipate that force.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you think about how you want your bridges to be, you don't want them to be full of holes.
No.
And the reason they could do that is because the bridges are over-designed to a degree where obviously they never anticipate a catastrophic failure. But in a lot of ways, when bridges are designed to handle that kind of load, when it does fail, it fails catastrophically, and that's just part of the nature of all bridges having an unceasing desire to crash to the ground, and that's just what they do.
Right. There's a one irresistible force that's always tugging at them, gravity.
That is correct, and it's always and if you bend a wire consistently, you'll break it in half, and that's what happens to these steel girders.
Mm-hmm.
Is the trucks usually, the cars don't have much of an impact, but the constant loading and reloading and reloading of these 80,000 pound vehicles, after 40 years, it takes its toll, and unfortunately I think we saw the result of that the other day.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
John?
Hey, Joe, I heard a structural engineer explain what redundancy in bridges is.
All right.
He said a redundant bridge means that if one part of the bridge fails, the rest of the bridge will remain standing.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a bridge without redundancy, if any part of the structure that holds a bridge up fails, the whole bridge will come down.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently is what happened. And that previous caller, boy, that didn't sound good what he said about those gears.
Right. Well, this will all be solved. I have no doubt that this will be solved.
Yeah, it'll take some time, but we'll find out what happened. Thanks,
right,
Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, it's me being neurotic or haunted by anxiety, which I suffer from, although less than I used to. But if I was a parent and I had kids strapped in infant seats, and you had to get them out quick.
Oh, I can't even think about it.
I know, but this is the kind of pleasant thoughts I have when I'm trying to go to sleep, when a bridge collapses.
Well, okay.
Now, I've had to buckle a few kids into these seats.
What did you find there?
I find it terribly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'd keep a box cutter in my car.
Waiting for that click, yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, the seatbelt cutter.
I'd keep a seatbelt cutter.
Yeah, there's that tool that cracks the glass.
Yeah, I got
cuts
that.
The seatbelt is a flashlight and is a like a little needle poker thing.
Because what can you unbuckle those things as fast as you could cut them? And you'd have to be a very
you'd
calm.
You'd have to be at the right angle.
And you'd have to be very calm to do it. But, you know, it's human nature. You know, you see yourself in the water and you got kids strapped in the seat. I'd want some implement with me to cut the, to smash the windows and B, to cut the straps. I'm sorry, that's just human nature to think that way.
I'm trying to think, where did I put that damn thing?
Right.
Under all the where did I put that thing? In the glove box? Under the seat?
Bruce?
Yeah, Joel. See, I was just going to kind of relay my experience with that bridge. I was on that bridge like a week or 10 days prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same situation. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic about 5 o'clock, and they were working on the bridge. And I remember while sitting on the bridge, I kind of felt this sensation like it was kind of bouncing up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a trampoline effect.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone else has commented on that.
I have heard a couple of references today to people who said they felt it. They felt it vibrating under them when they had driven across it.
It just seemed like a strange sensation, and I guess my comment is, it would seem to me that just the average person who doesn't know anything about bridges felt that. It seems kind of strange to me that someone else wouldn't have noticed something that was strange about the bridge.
Well, unless that movement was accepting from an engineering standpoint.
And I guess that's what I thought at the time. That's kind of why I ignored it, but obviously, maybe it wasn't right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Garage Logic will be back here in the AM 1500 KSTP newsroom as the John Hite News Experience with Action Force Traffic Team 1500.
Thank you, Joe. It's sunny and 87 degrees. Governor Pawlenty is ordering an immediate inspection of all Minnesota bridges that have a design like the one, like 35W. Pawlenty says he does not know how many bridges have that design. Authorities have lowered the death toll from yesterday's collapse to 4, but that number expected to change again and go higher when divers are able to get back to recovery efforts. They had to stop earlier this afternoon when debris and currents caused problems. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback says it's important to get things back up and running after the collapse of the bridge, but he says it's also important to remember those who are suffering.
This is something that will not be about one news cycle or a couple of days. It is really about families who are now only beginning to understand the depth of what it means to have a loved one who is no longer here, or to have a loved one whose whereabouts you don't know about.
What caused the collapse of the bridge, of course, topic of discussion today. A 2005 U.S. Department of Transportation's National Bridge Inventory Database said the bridge was structurally deficient. Timothy Galarnik, a construction safety engineer, says that report is telling and will be a good place for investigators to start.
They're seeing things that caused them to rate the bridge structural members at a rating of 4 out of 9, where 1 is the lowest and 9 is the highest.
Yeah, and that would tell you what if you're at 4? That
would tell me that I better pay attention to what's going on in the structural steel of this bridge. And that was 2 years ago.
NTSB Chair Mark Rosinger says the report should be done within a year. Galarnik was a guest on the Clark and Cole Show this morning on AM 1500. First Lady will be here to see the bridge damage tomorrow. Barbara Bush will look at the damage and also visit an emergency operation command center with volunteers and first responders. She'll do that around 10:30 in the morning before taking part in a drop-by at the Republican National Committee summer meeting. 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast: clear, 64 overnight tonight, sunshine and 86 tomorrow. Right now it's sunny and 87. That's news. Time for a check of real-time traffic with Kenny Olson.
Thanks, John. Crash drama in Camden. This report brought to us by Schoonover Body Works and Glass. East 94 seeing a very thick and slow flow approaching Dowling. That's due to crash cars on both shoulders right now. Expect a very slow flow there. And then in downtown Minneapolis, 394 over to the river, 24 minutes minutes for East 94. If you're on West 94, Creighton on the Midway over to the Lowry Hill Tunnel. That's a 22-minute flow. East 694, 35 Dub over to 35E, 31 minutes right now. And North 35E from Kellogg up to Maryland. That little pocket there, 9 minutes. Let's see. Schoonover Bodyworks has expanded to include Schoonover Auto Glass, and they'd be happy to bring that mobile unit right to you. Call Mike Schoonover with all your auto glass repair questions, 651-283-6756. That's your AM 1500 real-time traffic.
Today's the day to go back. It's JCPenney's back-to-school huge sale. This Friday and Saturday, get huge deals. Plus, Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., unbeatable doorbusters. 50% off the entire stock of juniors' fall dresses. 60% off boys' and girls' backpacks. Entire stock of young men's novelty tees, $8.99. And save an extra 10% off sale prices till 1 p.m. The JCPenney back-to-school huge sale. Stores open early Saturday at 7 a.m. JCPenney, every day matters. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends August 4th.
Get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer when you buy four select Goodyear tires, or double your gift card up to $80 when you make your purchase on your Goodyear credit card. Plus, the Goodyear Get There with a Winner tire sale is going full throttle. Winners get there with Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR. Offers end August 25th. For complete details and location nearest you, visit GoodyearTires.com. Certain restrictions and conditions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks of the property of their respective owners.
It's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum. I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated.
Yeah! Wait, so we're losing our jobs?
No, Zinc. We're doing them better. With Centrum's Better Balance formula, we work together. Like more vitamin C and selenium teaming up for immunity.
Oh, looking forward to working with you, vitamin C.
Of course you are. I mean, likewise, selenium.
New formula Centrum. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. Taking Garage Logic to the nation, here's Joe Souchere.
The nation has come here. We'll stay on the air until 6 p.m. and be followed by a one-hour ABC News radio special. So everybody's bringing in their guns to the Twin Cities.
All right.
The Twins have announced that the series with Cleveland will go on as scheduled tomorrow evening. Cleveland's in town. Today's game, of course, was canceled, as well as the ironic groundbreaking for the new ballpark, which was scheduled for this evening. I say ironic because, as part of the GL prediction, the complaining about spending public money on the stadium will become part of the complicated process in the follow-up to this, as the political factions line up in their various camps, and it'll be very easy for the ballpark to come under attack as an example of the misuse of public money. And I'm so twisted around on the ballpark that I could be pushed over the edge on that at any moment, because I've changed my mind 4,000 times.
Yes, you and have. Back and forth.
I always say? What was the word I always used?
Infrastructure.
I was always in for the infrastructure.
Yeah, give them some lampposts, some curbs, some hydrants.
It didn't work out that way. I guess taxpayers are on the hook for more than infrastructure, but I would have been more than willing to be in for the curbs and the electrical conduits and the sidewalks and the, and the sod. I was going to go sod.
Yeah, they're laying sod in the paper today.
Rick?
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I used to haul the steel bridge beams in, and talking to several of the engineers and foremen, that flexing you feel when you're sitting on a bridge, that's designed in there. That bridge is supposed to flex. It's like a leaf spring on a car.
Right.
You have to have that flex. Otherwise, if it didn't flex, that's when your cracking would occur.
Right, I understand that. You're
yep.
right.
So, yeah, the gentleman before was worried that, you know, he was worried the bridge was bouncing. You could feel that. But every bridge, every steel bridge that you'll sit on will do that as the traffic goes by. It will flex like that. It feels weird, but, no, that's all part of the design.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
I've felt that before.
I have, too. Anna?
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment on the gentleman who I called in complaining about the vibration. There's a lot of finger pointing, and everyone's hindsight seems to be 20/20 as far as this bridge, and everyone wants to find someone to point a finger to. I guess I would like everyone to just appreciate the fact that it happened, move on, stop pointing fingers, and can we just show support for the victims and the victims' family rather than trying to figure out what went wrong and who went wrong with this bridge?
I'm unaware of finger pointing. No one's blamed anyone beginning here at 2 o'clock. No blame has been assigned to anyone, and I am of the ideological belief that bridges sometimes fail.
Right, and I'm not saying Garage Logic in particular has done any finger pointing. Comments in the media have been searching for answers of what report was ignored and who didn't follow up on something that should have been followed up on. So perhaps it wasn't Garage Logic, but there's a lot of people who are looking for the source to blame. And I just would appreciate it if people could
move on past that. Thank you. Josh?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, I just had a little thing on cutting a seatbelt right away.
Give it to me. Maybe it will ease my anxiety.
Well, I worked in the automotive service advising industry for 12 years.
Yeah.
And once in a great while with these mechanical power seatbelt systems, they'd lock a person in.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to cut the seatbelts. We'd use the letter openers like you get with a bank's name on it.
Right.
One of those little letter openers.
That wouldn't be strong enough.
They slice it like hot butter through, or a knife, hot knife through butter.
That's hard for me to believe. Those little plastic letter openers?
Yep.
With the razor blade insert?
Correct, yep. We saved one elderly lady that was trapped in one, within seconds. It just cut it real quickly.
Were they 50-year-old seat belts?
No, it was like a 94 Ford probe.
All right, well, I got a couple of those things. Maybe I'll stick one in the car.
Yeah, go to the junkyard, try it out.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right, I've solved the problem.
See?
I know exactly the kind of letter opener he's talking about.
Well, I hope.
It's part of my tools.
Uh-huh.
I have those.
Well, I hope you never have to use it, though.
No, but
I... now you know.
You know.
You can sleep, at least.
Well, try.
You only get 110.
AM 1500, KSTP.
Build a better mousetrap, and the world will beat a path to your door. Remember when we lived our lives with that wonderful philosophy? This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory. As a nation, we built our economy on that concept. Always try to make it better. We demanded quality, not junk. Make it better. Make it stronger. Make it more attractive. Our products constantly improved. We were the envy of the entire world. We never stopped reaching for the stars. That's the spirit that put a man on the moon while the rest of the world watched in awe. But then, for some companies, the rules changed. Cut some corners. Make it cheaper. It doesn't have to last. The race was on. Only they were going in the wrong direction. Forget quality. Forget value. It's the bottom line that counts. It has become a race to the bottom. At the Original Mattress Factory, we choose not to run. We keep our prices low and our quality and value high. The Original Mattress Factory on Highway 36 at English Street in Maplewood.
You save big money, you save big money when you shop Menards.
Stop into Menards where you'll find great deals on quality floor coverings. All special order carpet is 22% off. Menards has over 5,000 styles and colors to choose from, many with attached pad for easy installation. You'll find top brands like Shaw, Stainmaster, Mohawk, Citation, and more. And check out Menards' huge in-stock selection of ceramic, porcelain, glass, and natural stone tile. Choose from many styles, all 20% off. Menards also carries all the tools and materials you'll need to install tile. A wet saw tile cutter is just $49.99. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card. And while you're shopping, register to win a 2008 Dodge Avenger.
Save big money at Menards.
One of the few times we are aware of movement.
multiple sclerosis stops people from moving. We exist to make sure it doesn't. With the help of people like you, the National MS Society addresses the challenges of each person whose life is affected by MS and helps them stay connected to the great big moving world. Join the movement at nationalmssociety.org.
There are some things you just don't want to know. For example, what exactly is in a hot dog? What were people touching before they touched the doorknob you just touched? Or that there is a legally acceptable level of insect parts inside every candy bar. But who cares when you've got Twins baseball on your radio? You found your happy place.
Swung on, hit well to left field. Ricky Ledet to the warning track. Can't come up with it.
Twins baseball.
Two-run homer for Torrey Hunter.
All season long on AM 1500 KSTP.
Half off is not a good idea for everything.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Half off your bill for dinner, that's always good. AM 1500 dining deals, $50 gift certificates for half price. We'll announce a new restaurant every Wednesday during the 3 o'clock hour on GL.
AM 1500, KSTP. Man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
According to ABC News, Minnesota's bridges are among the safest in the country. Only 12% of the state's bridges are rated structurally deficient. That's not comforting, is it?
No.
Or functionally obsolete, ranking it third best behind Arizona, 10%, and Nevada, 12%. According to a 2006 study from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, only 8.8% of Minnesota's bridges are, like the collapsed I-35W span, rated structurally deficient, the 14th lowest total in the country. Overall, the data indicates that 26% of the nation's bridges are in need of repair or do not meet the highest safety standards. Bridges in this category are rated either structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. Washington, D.C. has the country's least safe bridges, with 63% of the district's 245 bridges rated either structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. A bridge is rated structurally deficient if it's in poor condition and is deemed ill-equipped to handle the demands of the traffic load it carries, according to Susan Lane, manager of codes and standards with the American Society of Civil Engineers, which evaluates bridge safety. Structurally deficient bridges don't need to be closed, though they usually do require some repairs or weight restrictions, said Steve Chismar, a spokesman for the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. A span is functionally obsolete if it fails to meet traffic standards. For example, the bridge may be too narrow to hold both traffic lanes and shoulders, or it may hang too low, leaving inadequate clearance for trucks and trailers on the roadway below. Federal government requires states to inspect bridges at least once every 2 years, with many of the details of the inspection left to the states. There are three components to bridge inspections, Lane said, including evaluations of the substructure, that's under the water, the superstructure, above the water, and the road deck. Each part receives a rating on a 1 to 10 scale and then may be labeled deficient or obsolete. Among states, Rhode Island ranks last with 55% of its 749 bridges rated either deficient or obsolete, followed by 52% of the 4,919 bridges in Massachusetts and 47% of Hawaii's 1,104 bridges, according to government data. Texas has the most bridges in the United States at 49,226. But it rates 15th best, with only 21% either deficient or obsolete. It is fourth best when just considering structurally obsolete. Only 4.8% of those 49,000 bridges receive that rating. Jismar said that even if a bridge receives a structurally deficient rating, it is still safe for most uses. One in four of Pennsylvania's 2,291 bridges are structurally deficient, according to the feds. The bottom line is a structurally deficient bridge is not unsafe, Jismar said. He said that while these bridges normally do require repair, the overwhelming majority remain in service, perhaps with some traffic and weight restrictions.
I wonder what the old Lake Street Bridge would have ranked. Legitimately, I wonder what that rank was.
Zero.
MTC.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
MTC
it was zero.
MTC buses just nervously.
I think that would have been the bridge where I would have felt. I think I've been on the Lake Street, the old Lake Street Bridge with buses on it, and it was an amusement park ride.
Oh, it was just, you were white knuckle.
Aaron?
Yes, sir. Hello, Mayor.
Hi.
I work road construction for a nationwide company based out of Stock Rapids, Minnesota. And this is what happens. I mean, we had a big vote last year to take our TAB money and turn it back in for road construction and rebuilding use. Which, I like the light rail, but 80% of that money went to light rail and not to the roads like it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I got a lot of friends this year especially, the federal government and the state government have cut the funding for highways and bridges and everything else so bad that I've got a lot of friends that I've worked with for 20 years that aren't even called back to work yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wonder why things that maybe should have been checked on or should have been repaired aren't getting done. Well, people need to watch how they vote and who they elect and where money actually goes when they vote for these things. Read the fine print.
Well, there's no evidence, however, to suggest that Minnesota has not been keeping pace with its required bridge inspections.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, it's just like a lot of the roads that we do. The requirements to what they call the wear pad is what they were replacing on the bridge there.
Right.
You could have potholes a certain size and it still doesn't, the standards don't require you to fix it until it gets bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
But years past, there's always been a lot of money for road construction in Minnesota. I mean, we got a great highway system.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always fixed things in Minnesota before they get to where the standards say, okay, we have to fix this now. And now they're going the other way. Now they're waiting until it's bad, and we have to replace it, and then they're fixing it.
All right, so, thank you. No, it's a good point. Thank you. We'll be right back.
AM 1500, KSTP.
Build a better mousetrap, and the world will beat a path to your door. Remember when we lived our lives with that wonderful philosophy? This is Ron Trzynski of the Original Mattress Factory. As a nation, we built our economy on that concept. Always try to make it better. We demanded quality, not junk. Make it better. Make it stronger. Make it more attractive. Our products constantly improved. We were the envy of the entire world. We never stopped reaching for the stars. That's the spirit that put a man on the moon while the rest of the world watched in awe. But then, for some companies, the rules changed. Cut some corners. Make it cheaper. It doesn't have to last. The race was on. Only they were going in the wrong direction. Forget quality. Forget value. It's the bottom line that counts. It has become a race to the bottom. At the Original Mattress Factory, we choose not to run. We keep our prices low and our quality and value high. The Original Mattress Factory on Highway 36 at English Street in Maplewood.
AGLers, Kenny Olson in here. Say, how'd you like to start parking in that garage again? Get those toys off-site, out of your backyard, out of your garage, and just out of your hair. Here's the solution. Park Place Storage Condos are here in GL. We call them the Men's Crisis Center. Megaplex Annex. Big, well-lit, secure storage units that you actually own. That's right. You're not writing out a rent check to some hooplehead like me who's making a profit on your dime. It's going to be your shed. You do with it whatever you want. Sizes start right around 18 by 45. They only get bigger and better from there. 16 by 14 insulated doors. Gas heat. That means climate controlled year-round. 60-amp service and 24-hour security. Park Place storage units all over town. Burnsville, Hastings, Corcoran, Stillwater, and then the brand-new digs in the West Metro, Minnetrista. You need more information, call the Jorgensen boys. Joel and Paul, they'll answer all your questions. 952-250-2163. That's 952-250-2163. Check out your new storage unit on parkplacestorage.net. Go with Park Place Storage, please.
1 month you're making your mortgage payment with no problem. The next month, your rate jumps so drastically, you have to decide what to cut out just so you don't lose your home. I'm Deanna Doherty, president of American Equity Mortgage, and if you feel stuck in a mortgage you suddenly can't afford, listen carefully to this message. We've spent the last 15 years helping people in situations like yours find financial relief, and we can help you immediately.
Find financial relief now. Call 952-838-9900. That's 952-838-9900.
One of our experienced loan officers will talk to you right now and show you how your mortgage payment can be manageable again so you can return to enjoying your life.
Call 952-838-9900 or visit AmericanEquity.com. Celebrating 15 years in business by granting 15 wishes with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Equal housing lender. Additional restrictions apply. FHA approved lender.
One of the worst jobs in the world is sealing your deck. Picture the scorching sun. You got to sit there and seal your deck. You try to put it off every other year. Doesn't always work that way. You might call over your brother-in-law. Hey, come on over for beer and pizza and help me seal my deck. He doesn't always go for it either. Why don't you try Seal Max? They'll go for it, and they don't need beer and they don't need pizza. They'll do it in a day. Pick up the telephone and get on their schedule. Before the big party, they will seal the deck. They'll also seal the dock at your lake home, your cabin, wherever. 888-668-6447. Let them sit out there in the scorching sun. They're happy to do it because they realize with a 25-year guarantee on their product, they're happy and you're happy. So pick up the phone. 888-668-6447. It's called Seal Max. When superior performance and appearance are your only option, call SealMax, S-E-A-L-M-A-X-X, 888-668-6447.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP. He doesn't take meetings and doesn't have people. He doesn't hug and he doesn't journal. Here's Joe Soucheray.
Boy, a guy just, Will Genovese just sent me incredible pictures of the gears underneath that bridge that his wife took in 01. They're very, very artsy. He didn't send them for any other purpose than for me to understand the gear movement system that allowed the bridge to take its load and go with it. They're, in fact, they look in good shape. Here's a question. Maybe it's a question that needs to be asked, or maybe I'm going to phrase it incorrectly. I hope not to. The last caller had an interesting observation. It's entirely plausible that maybe there was a time in America when a bridge with a rating of 4 on 1 to 9 got replaced. And maybe due to a variety of reasons we can all agree or disagree on, we now try to milk more life out of bridges that get a 4 rating, and that we get engineering statistical data that suggests to us that even though we must call this structurally deficient, we believe it has some continued life. Thus, the people in charge of the public purse strings can justify delaying the public expenditure for replacing it. But maybe what we need to know all over the country are bridge ratings. Are there bridges in the metro or around Minnesota that have a 4 rating on a scale of 1 to 9 or 1 to 10 and are deemed structurally deficient? It might be worth knowing that. Are there bridges that we go over every day that have been designated structurally deficient, but we're not replacing them because semantically we have decided that structurally deficient does not mean instantaneous rebuild. We're going to get a few more years out of it. I'd like to know which bridges are fours.
That's a very good question.
What bridges are fours?
And that was worded perfectly. You're right. Let's start in downtown Anoka and go all the way to South St. Paul.
Let's do the whole state.
Yeah, but let's start here in the metro so we don't have this again.
It's all about you, isn't it?
No, I don't want to ever see this again.
No, neither do I.
I don't want to deal
but with it. But I'd like to know, given that I haven't yet got this knife I'm going to need if I'm ever in the car with a kid.
Yeah, you're right. This is a four bridge.
I'm not changing anything. I'm going to continue my daily travels throughout the world, but I need to know. Peter, real quickly.
Joe, I've been driving Courier in the Twin Cities for the last 15 years. Somebody said white knuckle earlier.
Yep.
That's the white knuckle bridge in the Twin Cities, where it was. And I tried to avoid it whenever possible, whenever the traffic was stopped, slowed down on there.
Can I put you on hold, or are you busy?
No, I can sit here.
I'd like to hear more of why you say that, but we got to take a news break. Can you hang on through it?
Yep.
All right, thank you, Peter. Longtime Courier with experience on that bridge. This is the talk station.
That is a great picture, by the way.
AM 1500, KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Could you put those pictures on the website, please?
I think we'll get their permission.
Without their address?
From ABC News, I'm Aaron Katursky. We're live at the scene of the bridge collapse in Minneapolis, where authorities said today it will take days to reach all the cars and bodies submerged in the Mississippi River.
We have taken our divers out of the water for a period of time, trying to regroup a